Today's episode is brought to you by Squarespace. Squarespace recently launched the latest version of their platform, Squarespace 7, which has a completely redesigned interface, integration with Getty Images and Google Apps, plus 15 brand new templates. So try the brand new Squarespace with a free trial at squarespace.com and enter the offer code BONKERS, that's B-O-N-K-E-R-S, at checkout to get 10% off. That's BONKERS at checkout. Squarespace.com. Start here. Go anywhere. Ladies, stop listening. Dudes, start listening. Dudes, ladies think you dress like shit. Ladies, I know you agree. Dudes, what can you do? You gotta get clothes that fit, that look good, that are fashionable. Where do you go? You hate them all. Go to bonobos.com. That's B-O-N-O-B-O-S.com. Here's how it works. They have good clothes. You get them. You enter the offer code HOW at checkout for 20% off your first order. Shipping is free both ways. You can return anything that you don't love. No question asked. Go to bonobos.com. Get everything from chinos to outerwear to dress shirts. Bonobos.com. Look good at your work, at play, or just when you're walking down the fucking street. Bonobos.com. Use that offer code HOW. Do it. Hey, everybody, before we start the show, wanted to let you guys know that we have live shows coming up. That's right, in Los Angeles at our home in LA, Largo, our live home, I should say. So go to largo-la.com for tickets. The date is Saturday, March 14th. We'll be doing two shows, but the first show has to sell out before we can announce the second one. So Saturday, March 14th, mark your calendars, mark your website, largo-la.com. March 14th, we'll see you there. More homoeroticism than an episode of HBO's Looking. We saw Tango and Cash, so you know what that means.
A nigga grow a baby in his belly, rock a rhinestone vest while whipping Justin to Kelly, or maybe see a burlesque show with Nick Crow and take a boat with speed to hitting cruise control. J-Man, Big Paul in the beautiful June, gonna take you from the goob all the way to the room. Randy Games and Street Fighter help to blow off steam, just a sucker punch the odd life of Timothy Green. Sharknado, the Birdemic, how we staying alive. They call it in the badass and he's on the line, cranking 88 minutes cause they cool as ice, cause a bad Jim Varney looking kind of nice. Paul and June getting literal. Jason is getting laid. June is making sure all the monkey shots getting paid. They judge a bunch of movies while they're making the grade. Here's a real question for you. How did this get made?
Hello, people of Earth, and welcome to How Did This Get Made. That is our brand new theme song by Haru. That's right. I'm pronouncing that right? Okay, Haru, thank you. That is amazing.
Haru is here in the room. He's not on mic, but we've pronounced it right, we've been told.
That is actually great. I've heard that song now three times, and there's new things in it each time that I pick up. I am joined, as always, by Jason Mantzoukas. How are you, Jason?
I'm good, Paul. How are you?
Very good. June, Diane, the question is the same to you. How are you?
I'm doing great. How are you?
I'm great. And joining us for a record-setting third time, he was on episode 1, and now on episode 101.
Boom!
Please welcome back, Nick Kroll!
You gonna ask me how I'm doing?
Bang! Bang!
Was we both rushed to get the mad D-snap out?
I was like, I can't get there fast enough.
Nick, welcome
Sorry
back.
About this.
That adds the atmosphere.
No, please. No,
everybody June. Now expects the water pour.
Yeah.
The
pour
classic.
A loud glass of water, June.
You feel like you're in here with us.
When I was here on episode 1, there wasn't this disrespectful water pouring during my intro questioning.
Did you think we'd make it to
And I don't think that app had been invented either.
No, we talked about this before. When you did 101 6 years ago, number one 6 years ago with us, which is when we did it.
When apps were a new thing.
People were still on Palm Pilots. Nick,
Palm Trio.
Nick, you're back. And The Kroll Show is back.
Yes.
Just tell everybody when that is airing.
Kroll Show airs Tuesday nights at 10:30 on Comedy Central.
And it's got Big Jason Mantzoukas in it.
Big JM is up in there.
Big Paul.
Paul, I'm assuming
Mark
this,
XYZ.
Mark XYZ.
Yes, this will probably be
you
passed.
Guys, obviously the world will be different. I'm assuming the How Did This Get Made podcast will get that Kroll Show bump.
Yeah, we're hoping for it.
Yeah.
For sure.
obviously, when June was on the show season one. You guys got that Kroll Show bump.
We
got,
we always get that Kroll Show. Jason brought the Kroll Show.
Jason was there last year and got that Kroll Show bump.
Boom. A lot of people. A lot of people tune in. They see Eagle Wing and they're like, I want to know that guy's podcast. Yeah,
I got to figure out how to spell his name and then Google it and then find out that he's got a podcast.
Well, you're back. It's the third final season, and it's from the stuff I've seen, from the stuff I've heard about, it sounds amazing. It sounds like you can't get any better.
Get any better. No, I'm very, very, very pleased with it. And I would love, if possible at some point, and this would be breaking format, but yeah. I think I've already made the decision that we're going to do it.
Yeah.
Is for Bobby Bottle Service made a movie this year called The In Addition To's. It's sort of his version of the Expendables. And I think we should do a How Did This Get Made about.
Oh, my God. I would love to do
Absolutely.
That.
Dream of dreams.
Could we do it with.
Bobby could come in and do it at some point.
I feel
point.
Like there has to be.
That'd be very fun.
I would love to do that.
But
I would imagine The In Addition To's share some similarities with this movie that we're going to be talking about today.
Yes, there is. There is some crossover.
So Bobby Bottle Service is in that movie?
He wrote, he directed, and he starred in it.
Yeah.
And so did Eagle Wing, who is a friend of Jason Mantzoukas's, as well as Chelsea Peretti as Farley, and CT from
Road Rules.
The Challenge, who is also in Gigolo Horse, already aired on Comedy Central.
And Comedy Central on Time Warner, what cable channel is that?
Until let's go through all the channels.
And then also on Dish.
DirecTV.
And also on DirecTV. Just so our listeners
I'm an ATTU-verse guy, and I want to know.
Where my charter head's at?
Let me just say.
Cox Cable.
I'm going to be real honest here and say that Comedy Central's got a pretty great app, and you can kind of watch all the shows.
Yeah.
You don't even need
Nick,
providers.
Where do you prefer we watch it?
I love it just in GIFs.
Now you are Tumblr. This is the end of Kroll Show. You are wrapping it up.
Yes.
But it will come back for a season four of only GIFs. Am I correct?
Yes. So that will be
so next
airing.
Year will just be a season of GIFs.
Kind
of
like
just
the Odd Future show.
Loiter
Squad?
Loiter Squad.
Yeah, that's exactly what it I'm you know, God willing. We'll see what happens.
If there's programmers out there, start those GIFs now because you'd need a lot of GIFs to fill a half hour, and like 8 or 9 half hours, it's a lot of GIFs.
Yeah.
Yeah, but it's if you go by act break, it's just like 8 minutes for the first act.
That's a good.
You know, so that's what, 9,000 GIFs per episode?
All right, let's talk about this movie, Tango and Cash. I just want to first say that I never saw this movie. Like, I've heard that this is like the worst movie. It's ridiculed, like Ishtar. Tango and Cash, they're
really?
Kind of thrown around as like...
Oh, I didn't know it was that, me considered neither. That much of a failure.
Oh yeah, not even a failure, as more of a like a,
just
whoa.
Piece of shit.
Yeah, piece of shit. Yeah, like, this is like, why? And the backstory on it is like amazing, which I'll talk about.
I always get this movie confused with Tequila Sunrise.
Oh, man, that's a sexy movie. Mel Gibson.
Mel Gibson and Kurt Russell, right?
And Michelle Pfeiffer,
yeah. That movie, for a minute I thought that was this, and I was like, well, wait a minute, isn't this movie good?
Yeah, no,
and
no.
then I started watching, and I was like, oh, this is a very different movie.
I will say that I've never seen a movie that starts, and I had to rewind it for June, where before the credits start, Stallone goes, okay, let's do this. Like that, and then the music kicks in, like that is...
Height of power. It's the height of hubris.
Hubris.
I
was going to say, it is hubris.
Okay, let's do this.
It's the same hubris that allows him to call Rambo a pussy and call somebody else in the movie Conan the Barbarian.
Yes.
He just thinks Stallone is at like just full strength at this point.
It's interesting because this is one of the few films Stallone did that he does not get attributed writing credit for.
Thank God.
Which is really kind of bizarre, and I wonder if he took his name off of it because he puts his name on everything.
You might not know this, Nick, but we've covered this in the past. The book that the movie Cobra is based on, Stallone tried to have himself put on a reprint of the book as the author of the book.
Because he said he did so much for the book?
I think so.
I think the thought was people will buy the book because it's based on the movie, so he should get a little bit of that money.
Oh, is the movie... The book was based on the movie?
No,
the movie was based on the book.
Okay. But you'd see them.
But under Sly, under Sly, it's like, no, I mean, you know, the book's based on a movie. It came out before, but, you know.
I thought he looked, I thought both of them
looked great.
Yeah.
Yeah.
How old do you think they are in this movie?
Well, the movie came out in 89.
I would put them at around 38?
Yeah,
I think they got to be 40.
Really?
But I don't know.
I thought a little bit younger. Like, all right, Stallone was born. Let's see.
I was trying to figure it out. I was like, at what age are these guys in their, like, how much of this is the in their prime versus, right, like, starting to be
older
guys now? I felt like
they were both in their prime.
Yeah.
Oh, I mean, Kurt Russell, by the way, always looks like he's in his prime. Like,
he does.
Yeah, he really so just great. Looks great. Yes. And his hair is another entity.
It is amazing.
Number one on the call sheet.
Gorgeous.
it's so beautifully wide and blockish.
Yeah. Yes.
It just grows out.
I felt like he was wearing, like, a lot of boat neck.
Yes.
Wide necked.
Well, he had worked on his, like, traps.
I feel like it looks like, great. Yeah.
Somebody was like, you need a scoop neck.
Yeah, a lot of scoops.
Well, I think that.
Scoop that neck.
And Paul, you can. Yes. You've done probably a little more research, but I'm pretty sure that. Somehow Henley shirts are partly paid for the movie. And it does feel like Tango and Cash is subject to Big Henley. You know what I mean?
Well, it's interesting that the movie kind of, they are a mismatched couple of cops.
Just so I'll give you the ages. Stallone, 43. Kurt Russell, 38.
Okay. Yeah.
Got it. Okay.
Which kind of makes sense.
Mm-hmm. They are mismatched cops, but a lot of how they are seen as mismatched is how button up and crisp Stallone is in Armani suits, mm-hmm, and how down and dirty Kurt Russell is in jeans and a hat.
But here's the thing that I have a real issue with. The movie is about two mismatched cops. Besides the clothing, there is nothing that differentiates these two cops. Like, one's a stock, like, because Stallone is apparently very rich from being a stockbroker / cop, or not, being an investor in stocks.
That was the craziest side plot.
That's just a prototype you don't see every day. Yeah. But like
the
cop
playing the stocks?
Yeah. Not only playing the stocks, like, that to me is interesting, but playing the stocks and spending money on, like, very fine suits and driving beautiful cars.
And like, people are like, you're rich. You're a Beverly Hills cop, so you're rich. That doesn't mean that
you're a Beverly Hills cop.
Well, but now, but that was the
no,
thing.
That's
well,
an that's interesting but, yeah. turn of phrase.
But by the way, that's what I was going to bring up. Like, Beverly Hills Cop, like, that movie works ultimately because it's, like, the button-up of Judge Reinhold and John Ashton and Ronnie Cox versus, like, Eddie Murphy. That's two different types
Beverly
of
Beverly Hills Cop, a movie originally
Cobra.
Meant to star
Stallone. And that became Cobra.
And Tango and Cash with music that was just one slight note off of Beverly Hills Cop.
By the same guy, Harold Faltmeyer.
Oh, wow.
Yes. That's like a difference of characters. Like, the way that they make it is like Kurt Russell's an inner city cop and he's a Beverly Hills cop. But they both investigate crime the same fucking crazy way.
They're also both making drug busts.
They're both narcotics
detectives. It's not like one of them is like white collar busting like fat cats or something, and one's like street level. They are doing the same job just in different outfits.
And in this movie, any sort of bust. I've been now alive for a long period of time.
Tell us
and
about
I've
never, that, Paul.
Look, I've seen a lot of things come
long,
and go.
How long have you been alive?
Well, let me say that when I was born, ColecoVision was something that the kids played.
Oh, my God.
Now we're all the way into the Xbox Ones. Anyway, I don't want to get into it. But
now, you consider yourself age-wise in terms of gaming consoles,
yes,
am I right?
Yes, yes. I'm 4 3DOs.
Because I remember when we had your DS birthday.
Yes, that's a good one, a very good one. Not as good as the Atari Lynx birthday. Deep pull from
deep
me there.
Gut.
But, you jerked off to Echo the Dolphin.
Well, who didn't? That's how you control the game. I was saying, like, the thing that I loved, clearly there was a lot of problems with the edits, and they needed to cut to newspapers. And I've never seen in any newspaper I've ever read, like, where they're like a cop, like, next to, like, cocaine, like,
those guys were, like, more, honestly, they were in more newspaper headlines than anyone in Los Angeles, it would seem.
Constantly.
For everything from, I get it when they get framed and are sent to jail because they're great cops, but, like, they are constantly being written about in terms of their exploits as if they are the biggest people in the world. But then when they escape prison, spoiler alert, they walk around Los Angeles and nobody recognizes them at all.
And by the way, you can assume that there are probably great cops right now. I've never read a story about like a super, like there's no super
cops.
Well,
the newspaper game has changed, Paul.
So it's all digital now.
It's all digital now. That's very true.
Maybe I should read a BuzzFeed slideshow about the best cops in Los Angeles.
By the way,
we are doing BuzzFeed slideshows on How Did This Get Made now.
Oh, yeah.
We are covering BuzzFeed slideshows. How did this get made?
Oh, my gosh.
That's so actually what Kroll Show is going to be next year.
it's moving to BuzzFeed?
Yeah, it's a BuzzFeed slideshow.
It's a listicle?
One of the best things in the beginning of the movie that I thought was going to be explained was we open up on Stallone. He's driving down this desert highway and delivering lines like he's on a flatbed with no energy at all. But he's trying to take down this like tanker truck. And he opens up his revolver, because that's, I guess, one of the defining things. He has, like, a revolver, like an old-school snub-nosed revolver, dumps out the bullets, takes special bullets, and then fires them. He's like, well, what are these special bullets? Because, like, he just fires at a glass window. Like, were those bullets not capable of puncturing glass? Like,
who knows?
Was that? I didn't understand
they
that.
They never explained what those special bullets were.
The weird thing about the movie is, like you said, Jason, you never get a sense of what is different about these two. Like, is this guy great at shooting? Does he have a great...
He doesn't shoot either of the people
right,
in the truck.
And is the other guy, you know, is Kurt Russell, like, super, you know, persuasive in interrogation?
I
both seem to be sort of just cops.
I would point... Just, I don't want to be the Nate. I don't want to be the Nate.
Are you still writing that show?
By the way, I also would, I don't know if you guys have read the script. It's unproduced still at this point, but Stock's Cop is actually a great, that was Sylvester's,
Sylvester.
But by the way, don't you get a sense that he, like, Sylvester Stallone was like, I love this character.
Right. Well, he's like, I've been playing the dumb guy forever, and I'm going to be the smart guy now.
I bet he was offered the other part first. And he was like, no, I want to play the smart guy.
I'm going to take down Rambo. He takes down his own character.
But
he shits on himself.
And this is the weird thing. He never uses that intelligence get them out or his knowledge of stocks. Well, I thought was going
to
come back at some point.
He should say, like, he goes, Rambo is pussy. But it's like, no, in this guy, like, you would say, like, Rambo is a monosyllabic beast. Like, I am an investor. You know, like, what's the difference?
Rambo doesn't wear glasses, Paul. I don't know how many times, which, by the way, he ditches about halfway through the movie.
Those glasses are gone. Once they go to prison,
they are indistinguishable from each other.
Yeah, and Rambo loses glasses, and then all of a sudden he's wearing like a crucifix.
Like, yeah, crucifix.
Go ahead.
No, here's the weird thing about them going to prison. They go to prison.
Because they're set up.
They're set up.
By Jack Palance.
Jack Palance playing a poor man's Jack Nicholson, which I've never really known, right? Like, he really felt like that.
I mean, Jack Palance, by the way, June and I looked at each other, Dan, and we're like, I don't even understand what Jack Palance is doing.
I don't know. I had that too. I don't know what his, I mean, no I guess idea. He's an arms dealer and a drug dealer, I guess, but like, I don't know what the master plan is. Yes.
Well, like, the master plan is like, there's some facility where he, like, he's just collecting all of it? Like,
this is what was really weird too. So they're framed for the murder of a federal agent.
Yes.
So they go to prison for 18 months.
Well, yeah.
Because they plead no contest.
Does that mean that...
And by the way,
I
would just go back quickly and just... I don't want to be the naysayer. You guys have a great show here. You got a great thing. Very popular.
What are you going to say? Go ahead.
Hit it up on iTunes.
Speak plainly.
Go to the podcast.
Hey, how come the podcast...
They're already listening.
Go check out
the podcast. How come the podcast ended? Oh, Nick Kroll came on and he blew the whole thing up. Okay, go ahead. So,
they're all here. Go ahead.
It's a lot of great episodes. There have been a lot of great guest stars. You've come and done the show. And anyway, so 100 different... Well, not 100 because I've come back a few times.
Yeah, we had to really kind of...
I started on Burlesque and then... obviously came through for a lot.
Kelly and Justin.
Shout out twice in the remix to a couple different movies. Anyway.
And also, you had some nice appearances in the best of episodes.
That's not the point. The point is that what you guys are doing here is talking about movies and how did they get made.
Yeah.
Sure.
Right. Yeah. Thank you.
And?
That's it. So I didn't want to break momentum. I just wanted to get that. No.
Wow.
No.
Hang on. That really makes me think.
I would just... you guys keep saying that they're quite
what have
different.
We done?
Yeah. You guys are... That they're not different enough. I would point to the court scene where Sylvester Stallone gets up and he's like, hey, respectfully, you know, I love the cops. You know, come out there. And then Kurt Russell...
Yeah.
Doesn't have control of his emotions.
He really doesn't.
And he screams.
He's a wild card.
He screams, what the fuck, or whatever. Yeah.
No, and this then, fucking sucks, is what he says. He says, this fucking sucks.
Yeah.
And then, gets a round of applause.
A round of applause, which makes me go, is anyone against these guys? Like, I don't, like, they're not even setting
I
up.
I couldn't figure out. It was, there was such bullshit police work was done in this movie.
I was like, we need to call Sarah Koenig in and do a serial on this court case.
Yes.
How these guys were written.
The next
wrote
season
it.
Of Serial is about a fictional crime in the movie Tango and Cash.
calling well, Tango and Cash about, on the phone.
This my is favorite it. Thing about how they were framed was that, so there's a tape made. There's a tape made that sort of mashes their voices together. So it sounds like they're having a conversation with a guy that they didn't murder, but it sounds like they have. The guy who runs that sound lab who put that tape together.
Yeah.
What is that sound lab for?
Oh, yeah. So they basically,
in the context of
one of
the
reasons
world.
Why they are definitely put away is one of the most damning pieces of evidence is this sound
this
technician.
Tape.
Is an audio in, recording.
Yeah. And he's like, well, that is actually them on the, that's them. And then they're like, okay, great. That was it. That was, and there was no real rebuttal to
that's
it. Nor did they
question,
have another
June. I don't know what his day-to-day job is. Some sort of
Foley
audio expert. You know, it's he seemed to me, I bought it as
he says at one point that he is the foremost audio expert. And
yes.
He's been a witness at other trials.
Man. Sarah Koenig would have a field day with this guy.
What is his job?
Well, I just was like,
he's
kept being like
Gene Hackman in The Conversation. He's like a... He's a surveillance audio expert. I don't know.
I just kept wondering where Jay was. Like, why weren't we hearing more from
Jay? Yeah, where was Jay? Where was Jay in the trial?
Right.
Guys, what have I told you? I've told you that building a website takes a lot of time. Okay, and building a website that actually looks good takes even more time. We don't have this much time. We're all dying every day. Thankfully, there's a solution for you. It's Squarespace. These guys know how to create a good-looking website in a short amount of time. Squarespace.com is the place to go when you need a website that works great and looks great. The interface is simple to use, but they also have 24/7 customer support. Saturday night, 2 a.m., they'll pick up the phone and help you out. If you're looking to sell anything, each Squarespace site comes with an online store at no extra charge to use. Think about it, okay? Squarespace is the option. There are no alternatives. Plus, now it integrates with Google Apps, so you can connect it right to your Gmail, your calendar, your Google Drive, and more. Squarespace has so many themes that you will literally not run out of them for over a long period of time, okay? So if you need to create a portfolio for a restaurant, a wedding, your band's page, whatever you need, they have a template. It's only $8 a month. $8 a month. As much as it is to get Netflix, okay? And you get a free domain if you buy Squarespace for the year. So start a free trial with no credit card required and start building your website today. That's right, a risk-free trial. And make sure you use the offer code BONKERS. That's B-O-N-K-E-R-S. That's BONKERS to get 10% off your first purchase. So don't be using this as if it's like your 15th, only your first. So show your support for the show. Go to squarespace.com because as I came up with the phrase for them, I said, Squarespace, start here, go anywhere. I mean it. Start here, go anywhere. So we have a brand new sponsor today. They're called Framebridge. What is Framebridge? Well, here, I'll tell you. You have a piece of art in your house, maybe a cool poster that you once bought and you framed it on the cheap because you just didn't have the money to frame it professionally. Well, that's where Framebridge comes in, okay? You send them your art. They have an iPhone app that makes it so simple to pick out the frame, the matting, all that kind of cool shit. And then they frame it for you professionally. They have 25 frame choices, some clean, some simple, some classic, some funky, okay? Plus, the pricing of this is so much cheaper than like a real frame store place. I've never gone to a frame store because I'm like, oh God, it's gonna bankrupt me, okay? Pricing is based purely on the size of your art, okay? And it ranges from $39 for a frame Instagram mini to $149 for an extra large 32 by 40, okay? This place is amazing. They make great gifts for weddings, birthdays, new babies, whatever. People want frame shit in their house, so go to FrameBridge.com to start framing. Insert how, H-O-W, for 15% off your first order. FrameBridge.com. Make your house a home. That's not their slogan, but I made it up, and I think it sounds pretty fucking cool. FrameBridge.com. Use the offer code how. Oh, by the way, just before we get into the prison, too, this is a movie where, and again, it reminds me of, like, I guess a different time, the 80s, where boobs were just, oh,
yeah. I was just going to say.
Boobs were out in full force in this movie.
Except only for, only tertiary, kind of anecdotally. Yes. You know what I mean? Like, it's like they're driving, there's a car chase in a parking garage. Yes. In the morning.
Yes.
It is a morning car chase in a parking garage.
In an apartment building.
And they drive, one of the cars smashes into a parked Volvo and a naked woman pops out of the back. Who is fucking in a Volvo in the morning in a parking garage?
Well, that's what I was saying. Like, and it's a parking garage in an apartment building. So it's like, you would think, well, just go upstairs and fuck upstairs. Like, what's going on?
My wife is here. Upstairs. My wife is here. Meet me in the Volvo downstairs.
I think it was also confusing because there's no real violence in the movie. I mean, you don't see blood a lot. You don't see, like, actual gore. So there's such a weird disparity between, like, oh, there's sometimes boobs around.
Yeah.
But no.
There's also
blood
like,
at
real
all.
Cursing. There's also a lot of very real cursing, you know? So it's like, but that's just, those kind of things aren't done anymore.
I got to say, though, I guess I'm just a nostalgia guy, but it was so great to see, like, 80s fake boobs.
Oh,
what I mean? Become accustomed to a different kind of fake
boob. I felt like
in
the strip club, they were natural boobs.
Oh, I felt like I saw one that I was like, ooh, look at those like weird plastic missiles.
So let's even talk about that strip club because I wasn't even sure it was a strip club.
I wrote, is this a strip club?
Well, yeah.
Because it starts out with a motorcycle backing out of a
someone
has
just done a show on a motorcycle.
And it's huge. The place is enormous and has a fully mixed clientele.
And yeah, men and women.
I don't think it was a strip club.
What was it?
I think it was a place where people go to watch dances.
Tell me everything. But go.
Look, I wish this place existed. It's a place you go when you're going on a date or you're out with your significant other and you just want to watch dancing. You don't want to dance yourself.
What about
you want to have a nice cocktail and you want to sit down and you want to watch a show. You don't want to hear singing. You don't want to watch narrative. You just want to watch
dancing. Drumming.
And electronic drumming.
Because
and electronic
she,
drumming.
A part of Terry Hatcher, who is in this movie, and we can kind of get to her relationship But Terry Hatcher, she comes out and she's dancing hardcore, like really.
And she does take part of her outfit off.
Yes, but not the full thing.
And isn't that the conversation they have before she leaves, where he's sort of implying that her dancing is not above board?
Oh, I didn't
and
catch
she,
that.
I
yeah.
think there's
I was
some
too
implication
to figure out
of
if,
like, let's keep it classy.
Oh, I thought it was like, you got to take more off.
Sly says that to her?
Sly was saying that. Oh, I'm sorry.
See, I didn't know who she was to Sly in the beginning,
either.
And I thought, is that his daughter?
They want you to think, want that to be
But
the
I was so obsessed with going, that's his daughter.
I thought it was his daughter as well.
And they want you to think that's his girlfriend. But
you know, that would kill Sly if he heard you say that.
But Terry, I mean, he's like 43, and Terry Hatcher must have been
23?
Like 18. Yeah. She was born in 64.
I love that place, though.
That
you
club.
Love that place.
You
that
would like. You would like that like, club to exist.
Yes,
I would love.
You know what it is? It's like
exist.
The modern version of the Xanadu club.
Yes, absolutely.
It's where just dancing
absolutely.
Happens.
Absolutely. And not like really like
she
a dance
was 25.
Show.
Terry Hatcher was 25.
But sort of little acts of dancing.
Wait a second.
Little like
no.
Five
this was a strip club without. This was a strip club where women just didn't get naked.
But backstage.
If they wanted it to be a strip club, they're fine with showing boobs. They would have just made it a strip club.
But wait, but
there,
so.
Was, there were no,
no but
poles.
No.
Did these exist at the. Was there a time when clubs like this existed?
Never. I wrote that down. I go, there has never been a time where a club like this existed.
But
it's
also a huge club.
I think in the consciousness, there was like weird 80s performance art and like.
Well, it just felt like she looked like Flashdance.
Yes.
Like it was like they like, you know, he liked Flashdance and
again, like with these movies like Beverly Hills Cop, they'd always go to a strip bar in the middle of it. Like Beverly Hills Cop 1 and 2, like, let's go get a drink at the strip club. But this, like, I wanted to, I think if we understood what the motorcycle act was, we'd get a better idea. We only see the motorcycle coming off.
Yes.
She comes on, via a stargate. Like, she's coming out of a stargate, that, like, kind of is on, like, electric motors, and then giant drums pop up.
All acts were not, all of the bits were not supposed to be sexy. If they were, that was great. Hers was sexy. They were just, and they weren't necessarily supposed to be dramatic or comedic. They were
just dancing.
You just,
entertainment.
Has nobody here been to has no one here been to a variety club? Yes. That's what it was.
Exactly.
It was a variety club. And by the way, she drummed. And, you know, what I loved the authenticity of this movie is they didn't force her to have rhythm in her drumming.
Nope.
It was awful. I was going to say, the outfit was pretty awful. Unflattering.
Yeah.
She looked great in many other outfits.
Yes. And
but on stage, she did not look good.
One of my favorite parts of her and her whole persona was when they were in her apartment later on, there is a giant, like, movie poster-sized picture of her in the corner, like a post shot of her, like, in her room.
I didn't notice that.
And it was just, amazing. Like, a picture.
And he points to the picture. He's like, yeah, this thing's going to the club.
But I do think this was during a time where the idea of, like, a career as a dancer meant something different.
Yes.
Where it wasn't like, oh, you're either a ballet dancer or you're a music video girl. Like, there was one other avenue.
Well, this
avenue.
Is the era of solid gold, right?
Yes. 89?
This is post solid gold. Slightly. Okay. This is, but there was still
a
time.
But that's why she had a huge
publicity shot. Or Flashdance, you're right, Nick. Flashdance had this. There was still a time when somehow, like, contemporary dancing was something that was still watched or viewed. Or I don't know what. But,
yes.
But this, it was enough.
I mean, it was after it was done. I would say it is. I looked at solid gold. It is. But I guess it was like the remnants of solid gold.
I guess maybe.
But she's also playing drums. Like, she wasn't even miming drums. Like, someone gave her sticks and she yells at that bartender, who's very apoplectic about, I'm so sorry.
Having a real hard time, that bartender. He's getting it from every direction.
Well, I think that, I feel like that, I don't know what order it came in, but it's possible it was like, okay, so he's dating a stripper. And then it's like, no, you know what? Let's make the twist that it's his sister, and Tango wants that, you know, and Kurt Russell's going to want the sister.
Yes.
So then they're like, okay, but we've already built the strip club, but there's no way Sly would let his sister be a stripper.
She's a dancer.
Perfect. Done.
But to me,
hey, it's your agent. Great news. You don't have to show your tits.
But we could still get all the tits we want when he goes backstage and all the girls. by the way, just so if you are keeping track, in the world of Stallone, Tango's parents waited 18 years to have in between kids.
Yeah.
they had their
she
first
was a
kid.
Real oops.
18 years. They had a kid like when they were 20
on their
and then
deathbeds.
40. Real mistake there.
I don't know. This was a huge mistake.
Also, I want to get into a little bit of Jack Palance, who is, I agree, like a poor man's Jack Nicholson. They give him this monologue at the beginning where he takes out two rats. He's like, this is Tango. This is Cash. And then he tells a story about these rats. And then he goes, you know, and then next week when all the drugs and money are going to be here, they're going to be behind bars. And then he puts them in a maze.
He has a maze in his office. He has a rat maze built into a table in his
which
office.
Which I love, but also it's not really completing the metaphor.
Nope.
Like, you think he's going to take two rats and then kill them.
Nope.
But he's like, and then they're going to be in jail or a maze that
is still someplace that's tough to get out of.
Well, because they could... what would a rat jail be? And then you're like, oh, a cage.
Yep.
Like, he could have put them in two separate cages and it would have been jail is.
He literally goes behind bars and then puts them in a maze. Like, it's like you could have picked any different adjective to be like, we're in a, you know, they'll never get out.
Weirdly, very end, though, when they were driving those trucks through that compound.
Oh, yeah.
That's when I thought the metaphor.
Yes.
Yeah, I was like, oh, okay, so now.
But they were never supposed to get there.
Well, that's what I'm saying. Like, oh, yeah. Did he have the foresight?
Well, he had foresight enough to not only...
This guy loves mazes.
To not only have a maze worked out and have all those other guys with all those other trucks with rocket launchers on them, but he also was able to enable a self-destruct function to his entire warehouse and have someone record an announcement for it that says... facility destruct sequence now engaged. Like, who recorded
the
that?
Sound lab guy.
Like, what?
I laughed so hard at that. It was like, it's like a scene out of Star Trek when they blow up the Enterprise in Star Trek 3. It's like, they like that's the only time I've ever seen a self-destruct for a building?
Yes.
Why would you ever have
get rid of the evidence. Get rid of the evidence, Paul.
And why do you need to announce it? And it's 11 minutes away. Self-destruct now engaged. You have 11 minutes.
Well, that was
that's
like
a
that
very long time.
I would argue that, so whoever was the production designer was very territorial and very sure about what he was doing, because it was like, no, the bar, look, the bar is a club and there's the stage and it raises and there's a ramp and everything moves back with the fan and everything. Also, the office where Jack Palance's office is going to feel like a club too. there's going to be a bar. His desk is going to be raised on a stage. There's going to be a lot of glassware on shelves.
That worked because we have a guy who loves to kick glass shelves.
And
we just cast him as a bad guy so he can come in. He can kick all the glass shelves. Perfect.
And he's going to have a whole room full of glass like Enter the Dragon. Anyway, we'll get into that later. I wrote down here, I hate this set designer because there's a bunch of questions. And his name is J. Michael Riva. And apparently he's done some great stuff. Django Unchained, Iron Man, Spider-Man.
Wow.
He's done a lot. But in this movie, he had lost his mind because there's a scene where, these are my two examples I really want to talk about, where Kurt Russell walks into the bathroom where there are police lockers next to a urinal, and then there's a table and chairs next to that. So it would be like, what do cops just go, fuck, I'll just sit down in this chair and face the urinal. It was like putting like a kitchen table next to a urinal. Like, but they needed the kitchen table because he needed to beat up the guy in the interrogation room.
Because the Chinese guy is just allowed to be in the cops locker room and take a pee and hang out.
In fairness to J. Michael Riva, I feel like that was just a production quandary. Like,
okay.
I don't.
He did Goonies too. This guy has a lot of very solid.
I think they were probably just like, we can only do this in one set and we already have the locker room. So this is where the interrogation is.
Yeah, we just need to put a table in here.
Yeah. Right.
Well, then the other one thing I'll talk about is in the prison. When Stallone and Kurt Russell, we'll get into the prison, when they're kidnapped and put into the laundry room, there's a big fight in the prison laundry room. But then there also are cells in the laundry room, too, because guys, the arms are so who built the prison? Like, we'll just keep them in. They don't have...
And the laundry room is like the size of an airplane hangar, and there are cells built into it. So it's like, oh, where are you? I'm on cell block D. Where are you? Yeah. Oh, I'm in the laundry room.
I'm in the laundry room.
I'm in the laundry room cells.
I mean, it's very probably,
But honestly, I would die for the shower setup that they had in jail. Like, if I had that shower, they had plenty of space. They had
beautiful.
Well, that's
just because nobody else was in it.
Right, because they why?
By the way,
why did they have the showers to themselves?
Because they were like taking a really like it's like all right before you guys get to prison, just take a nice long private shower.
So long.
They give them so much private time together.
Yes.
Yeah. For people that are about to be set up to be killed, they give them all the time in the world to chat, hang out. They can. They seem to be able to move to and from each other's cells.
Yeah.
It's crazy.
I want to actually play the clip where they are in the showers because it's one of the best, like, the who's on first of this movie is a dick size argument.
Oh.
And just to set the scene, they've been taking this shower for a long time, and you'll understand what's happening if I just tell you that at one point, Kurt Russell bends over, and Stallone's like, whoa, 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 whoa. So that's what we're kind of coming in on. So here you go.
I don't know yet.
Yeah.
You don't know shit. What are you doing? What are you doing? What are you doing?
Relax.
Soap, and don't flatter yourself,
Pee-wee.
I don't know you that well. Don't worry, Cash. Someday the other one will drop.
Attaboy, tripod. Just keep talking.
Sure thing, Minnie Mouse.
Okay.
Classic.
Yeah.
Question. Is it classic, though? Because I'm confused. When someone maybe this is going to I have a question
reveal about
too
this
much,
one.
But when someone has a bar of soap and they lean
bend the bending down, over person is the one who's going to be violated, not the person
right, that's right.
That, yeah.
He's going to pick up the bar of soap.
He's right. Going to pick it up, think but he's the, bending down to pick
right,
it up.
Right, the implication is that Kurt Russell's going to bend down and suck on Sly's knob.
Oh, I thought... Oh, okay.
I think that's
I that, thought the
but that's not the
that's
thing.
Play. It's another a play, question. And guys, I don't want to be the contrarian. It's a play on the who dropped the soap thing.
I got. I,
it's
no,
a play
and I,
on it. Okay.
It's a well, play the on, thing that I had the I bigger think. Issue with, and this is I thought you were going to bring up, when someone is called tripod, that means that they have a very big dick.
A big dick. Well, my guess is that my guess is that Sly couldn't let it lie with being called Pee-wee, so then they had to like. Do another one where he called him tripod, so then you're confused about whether he's got a big
really
dick or a small dick.
It really is a very strange. He calls him small dick and then immediately calls him big dick.
Right.
And then later on, they talk about his dick later, I think.
And he calls him Minnie Mouse or something like that.
Yeah, and like, and they really are examining each other's dicks. Like, they, it seems like there's too much dick. Like
there's
the gay panic in this movie is very bizarre and unsettling.
It's constant, and it's constantly a joke. It's, well, I would say it's not, I don't know if it's gay panic, because it's almost like a gay, it's like sort of a gay, a slight gay hug. Because he keeps being like, I don't know you well enough yet. Like, we're not even engaged. Like, it's like this constant sort of like, so what's your, like, it's always.
But Stallone is seemingly, if you were to say, like, the more emotional one. Because at one point he's like, you're the best cop I've ever worked with.
Yeah.
And then, like, I guess the whole thing about will they, won't they in this movie is will they or won't they high five?
Yes. Like, that's the will they, won't they.
That's the money shot at the end is a high five, which is crazy. And you also don't forget you get the cross-dressing Kurt Russell scene.
That was amazing. I was like, holy shit, this movie is fucking, when that
it's
happened.
So weird. Yeah.
I really was blown, my mind was blown.
Am I to understand that that is Terry Hatcher's motorcycle regardless?
No.
No, it's the other guy.
No, it's the motorcycle act from that went on before
got it.
Her.
So then what we are meant to assume is that she can and does drive a motorcycle
easily.
The only reason why they set up that shot of the motorcycle act that we saw a glimpse
was because
the setup is like, well, we think he's going to come out
as the motorcycle guy.
Yes, and of course he doesn't. She does,
and then she whistles and says, "Come on, babe," and then we get him. In what must have been 2.5 hours of makeup to make him look like a woman.
At this point,
which, by the way,
he's done now twice.
This is in the back of the not strip club, by the way, just for people to understand.
Right. Yes.
This is in the back of the not strip club. The police are converging
on
them, and this is the only way they can escape.
And he's on the lam. I mean, he's really...
He's the most wanted man in Los Angeles.
Yes, and instead of just sort of rustling out and jumping on
Kurt
the back...
Kurt rustling out? What'd you say? Instead of Kurt rustling right out of there?
He stands there posed for a long time.
Oh, yeah. He gives the cops a million shots of his face.
And then he pulls his sunglasses down.
At one point, he whistles to the cop to make the cop look at him and then gives him a kissy face. It was so weird.
And then they put him in it, and they don't even really let him have fun as a woman.
It's like, not like Junior.
No, that's exactly what I was saying. Like, this is like a little, we've seen now two action stars dressed as women in the last two movies. But he, like, and when he's like called to speak, you could tell he's real nervous. He's like, Kiki. And they don't let him do much.
Or he was like, I'm not doing any of this shit. I oddly
feel like Kurt Russell was like more cool with dressing up as a woman like than
probably.
Than Stallone.
Well, there's a lot of like panic in this movie about masculinity. I mean, there's that.
Yeah.
There's also sort of like preserving her virginity and the panic over.
Oh yeah. Is Kurt Russell? Did you bump uglies with my sister?
Right.
Yeah. And how many times do they say FUBAR? They keep setting up FUBAR. Here's the thing, like, and it's one of my favorite mechanisms in a movie, and it's the classic sister twist, and it's you find out that. Terry Hatcher is, Sly's sister. But it's such a convenient thing because it lets two men who want to fuck each other have a surrogate so that, Kurt can fuck the sister because, Sly and him can't.
Right.
At least publicly.
Publicly. And I'm not saying Kurt and Sly, but it's like within that movie, the chemistry is,
I owe you one. You got my back. They're always saving each other and looking each other's eyes.
Guys, it's the original bromance.
What I loved about this movie. Oh, we got to talk about the massage scene. When Stallone finally catches his sister and Kurt Russell together, she's giving him a regular massage.
Hang on, though.
Yes.
Why?
Why
has their relationship escalated to the point where she is in nothing?
She just met them.
She's in nothing but a kimono. He is wearing just pants. And she is giving him a full-on rubdown.
Because he hurt his back?
Sitting on him.
And sitting on him. And at first it's like, oh, yeah, that's good. That feels good. And then it heightens when Stallone's watching it to a point of, like, oh, can you feel it? Oh, yeah.
Harder.
Hard. Oh, it's in.
It's all the way in.
As June turned to me and said, what? What is in? Like that?
Her finger in his butthole. That's the only way you can get to that vertebra.
You never said that term. Like, oh, yeah, you got my back in.
Yeah.
Like
ooh, yeah, you're right in there, real deep.
And she's like this. She's like, oh, yeah, like she's excited. Yeah,
she's giving the massage.
Yes.
It was ridiculous.
It's like, and that scene went on just a little bit longer than you needed it to go on. It was like, he could bust in. It looks like she's fucking him. Why did she need to like stand in the darkness and watch this scene where they weren't even like, just to get more upset? Like,
yeah, because there are no two people in this movie and probably the world that Sly's character wants to fuck more than Kurt Russell and his sister.
Well, I definitely think they were like,
off on being, you know?
They definitely were like, one of these guys needs to have a crush on a girl, otherwise everybody's gonna think they're gay.
Especially with
all of the, there's a lot of prison gay stuff too.
Oh my God.
There's a lot of stuff in prison like, I'm gonna drop a load in you.
Brown sugar in you.
There's just a lot of just like, oh, I'm basically gonna rape your butt.
I mean, but by the way, they have that, but they also show Stallone and Kurt Russell walking with their asses out, like totally naked, away from camera, like, hey, like just ass shot, like man, like that's like Mel Gibson, like that was another era where it was like action stars show their asses.
Oh, yeah.
Like they're this out.
Well,
there.
That I feel like that was because it drove the ladies wild. June,
so
were you
weird.
Driven wild?
No, and I have to say, and I think I've said this before, like to me, the shot of a man's ass. I think I speak for most women, does nothing.
Right.
Like, I don't know what, because I remember that in the 80s, and it's in so many movies of like these beautiful, tender shots of men's asses, and
what
commercials of like men in jeans and asses, and I do think it's very homoerotic,
mm-hmm.
but it's not, I don't think it's for women.
You don't think it's hetero?
Oh, I don't think so.
What if the guy's a real hunk?
Then that's great, but I don't personally. I don't need to see his ass.
No, you would much rather see like his abs.
I think I'd rather not.
Yeah,
I think I'd rather not.
You're not like you're not the kind of lady that's like, ooh, ladies, you've got to see this movie because of the buns, the hot buns on display.
I don't think many women are into asses.
And you say, yeah, that's it. You think you speak for all women?
I'm going to speak for all women.
Yeah. And say, okay, so listeners, if you agree with June on that, just
and by the way, go out and listen to How Did This Get Made? Go get
you should
your
definitely
hands on that podcast.
Nick, we're on it. They're here.
Right. Exactly. Because of statements like this.
This, one of my favorite lines in the prison was, it was Kurt Russell to Stallone, and he goes, they cut his throat ear to ear. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Yeah. No. Yeah. 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 Exactly. That's like not a metaphor.
You just described it perfectly.
Yeah. Yeah, they cut a throat, right?
Ear to ear.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yep, got it.
One of my other favorite prison.
In fact, we were talking about it just earlier in the movie.
Yeah.
When the guy held a razor blade to your throat and said he was going to cut it ear to ear.
One of my other favorite prison moments is Clint Howard. One of his finer performances, is that fair to say? One of his more understated.
Apollo 13 and then this.
He says, I killed my best friend, and then points to a newspaper article that says, man kills best friend.
Newspapers in this world were like...
So literal. The newspaper budget... On this, like, that's where all the production designer's money was going. He's like, look, we can't separate the interrogation room from the urinal room. We're overextended on newspaper budget.
We also have spent $45,000 on slinkies.
I wish all the transitions of this movie was just a newsboy throwing newspapers off the back of a truck.
Okay, but I did wonder about that shot because I think, were they trying to have the audience really believe, because we can't trust the narrator of the crazy person, that this happened?
Well, right. Right.
Was that's that it?
Doesn't yeah. Clint Howard also go, I kill my best friend because I'm crazy, and crazy people do anything. Yeah. Like, all right, like, yeah, we got like.
But then he sort of seems to have settled down, like Sly has control of him later.
Well, remember, Sly yes. takes the slinky and like ties him to the bed with his slinky.
And by the way, that dorm, that was like a prison dorm room. Like, there was a, there was literally a sign above the door that said exit, like a stolen sign. Like, they don't let you decorate your prison. Like, they had like hanging like toys and stuff like that. It's not like that loose.
No, everything in this prison, the prison doors are always open. Everybody's always socializing, yes. It seems like. Everybody has access to each other. They're like, at one point, Kurt Russell is in Stallone's cell visiting, and he's like, come on, man, we gotta go. And a guy comes and is like, hey, come on, you're late for work.
Yeah.
I was like, what? What do you mean, come on, you're late for and work? Then, like, and then he cuts to work, and they're like, you're 30 minutes late. This is prison.
And he's like, sorry, boss, I'll do bad. I'm trying my best. He's like, all right. Like, it was like, this, it is prison.
By the way, I've now lived in LA for 7 years. It rained more in this movie than I have ever in my 7 years. Wow. It had rained. But oh, sorry, just another time thing is they get framed for murder, right?
Yes. Yeah.
Then, because Palin sets it up. He's like, I'm going to get these, you know, get these.
Yeah.
We got the biggest shipment in the world coming in a week and a half, next week.
Yeah.
So these guys get arrested, framed for murder, and are on trial and go through an entire trial within the next week.
And escape.
I've never seen the legal system function so fast.
Nope. It's impossible that this would have happened this way. Impossible.
Impossible.
Let's talk about
how did this get made? iTunes.
I want to talk about the video footage in this movie. This movie also, like, the big...
Like video phones and stuff like that?
Yeah. Everything was on video phones in this movie.
Which were just, like, old TVs.
Yes.
Old big screen TVs.
And then the one thing that was so funny was Palance has, like, a guy that, like, works... The Beverly Hills unit and the guy who works like the Lower East Side, and they are always together. And he calls them up on the phone, and the camera for their video phone, which doesn't seemingly controlled by anyone, is just zooming into their faces and zooming out like that. Like, what technology is that? Mm-hmm. And then we haven't even talked about the Q. The James Bond Q.
Oh, God.
The guy who works for the LAPD Research Division.
The guy, he's one of the guys in Scrooge.
Oh, yes, he's one of the homeless guys in Scrooge.
And who's building a stuffed animal dog with a gun in its mouth that is to protect elderly people at home alone. What?
Michael J. Pollard, by the way, is his name. And
what on earth is that about?
But he also goes, you know, he's the one who came up with my boot gun, which was like...
Do you think our tax dollars are going toward anything even remotely like this?
Oh, 100%, yes.
I mean, this is so crazy. Like, LAPD does not have a special unit to make weapons and vehicles.
Also, Kurt Russell is the most wanted man in Los Angeles and walks into an LAPD facility. Nobody recognizes him.
Yes.
Except
his
buddy.
He's not in disguise.
He's not in disguise. He's not trying to be subtle. He's waltzing through. He's walking by people. He says, I need guns. His buddy gives him guns. Then he walks back out by all these other people. It's the movie is so stupid.
Here's what's weird, too. Beyond figuring out the tape of it all, they don't do anything to get themselves off when they're released.
You mean sexually?
No, I mean, like, they don't try to prove that they didn't do it.
No, they are just trying to get at Jack Palance, I think.
And I would argue they're actually doing plenty to get themselves off sexually.
Yeah.
Okay.
I want to talk about...
Separate thing.
I want to... Okay, so...
And just to finish off the special, you know...
Victims unit?
Yeah. They just take off with that truck. Like, they don't even have to sign anything. Or, like, they're just like... He's like, go take our super truck.
The super truck looks
like... That's the only thing I remember from that movie when it came out was, like, the super truck.
Well, that's the 80s. It was all about super RVs, super trucks, vans. It's like the A-Team, stripes.
Mm-hmm.
It's all male buns. tight male buns and like souped up like Vans as the height of holy shit, can you believe this exists?
It's excess. Yeah.
It's a fucking van with a machine gun stapled to it. Like there was a scene in every A-Team where they did just this, where they took a tractor and turned it into a weaponized tractor, where they took any item with wheels and turned it into that with guns and wheels. Mm-hmm. And that was a huge deal. I don't know why.
There's so many things I want to share with you, and I just feel like just for the sake of this, I can just throw you a fact and we can discuss. First of all, the film went over budget by how much? How much do you think it went over budget?
15. Newspaper budget included? Or is that okay?
I'd say it went over by $10 million.
Okay.
$20 million.
Okay. Paul, $1.
Okay. $20 million. Over budget.
Wow.
$20 million. Listen to this. This is the other thing here. The movie went into production in June. Directors were changed in August.
Oh, wow.
Principal photography was finished in September. Then a new director was brought in for two more weeks of reshoots.
So that's
and then it was finished filming on October 20th, 8 weeks before its original theatrical opening.
Oh, my God.
So it opened, it like finished, right? Oh. Patrick Swayze was originally cast as Cash. He left for Roadhouse.
Amazing.
That's why the hair. Amazing. That's the hair.
Yeah.
Dodged Stallone, a bullet.
Stallone had Barry Sonnenfeld fired as a DP because he wasn't lighting him correctly.
Oh, wow. God.
And then in the scene where the SUV catches fire, they couldn't put the fire out. And Stallone and Russell were in that car, and Stallone was burnt because his hair caught on fire in the SUV.
Wow.
They almost were killed. And a crew member said, this is the worst organized, most poorly prepared film I've ever been on in my life. From the day we started, no one knew what the hell we were doing. There was apparently a very big debate because the director was a very serious Russian filmmaker who co-scripted Andrei Rublev with Andrei Tarkovsky and filmed a Russian adaptation of Uncle Vanya and directed Eric Roberts to an Academy Award nomination in Runaway Train. A high-level director and then replaced by the director of Purple Rain.
Hence all the rain scenes. He's like, I got one big note. Oh, and by, yeah, that's why she's like Sheila E.
Exactly.
Drumming away.
The producers sued Warner Brothers trying to not release the movie because Warner Brothers took the movie away, gave it to Stuart Baird, who re-edited the entire movie to make sense. He did the same exact thing for Demolition Man, another Stallone movie.
Holy cow.
But they were trying to sue them because
Stallone's like, this is my guy. I make a shitty movie and this guy turns it into gold.
I mean, this is just the craziest.
Well, it's Goober, Peters and Goobers, right?
Yes.
Is that their name?
Peters and Goober wanted the movie to be goofier and campier, while Stallone and Konieloski wanted it to make it more serious. So there was two tones at play, and then they couldn't get Harold Faltmeyer in at the end of the movie to do the last reel. So the last reel of the movie is done by somebody else.
Wow.
And then there's a couple more things here that all of them were pretty great.
Well. I don't know if it's Goobers or Peters, got his break as Barbara Streisand's hairstylist.
That's John Peters.
John Peters, hence, I would say the Kurt Russell hair. The focus
on the
Kurt Russell.
No, I think that's Kurt Russell's hair.
Yeah.
That's Kurt Russell's hair. I mean, that's Snake Plissken's hair. That's
hair in his prime,
hair.
Too.
Big Trouble in Little China.
Yeah.
And then these are the only other two things that are worth mentioning. Well, there's so many great things. When Tango and Cash escape from prison, Cash turns to Tango and asks if he stopped for coffee and a Danish. Tango says, I hate Danish.
Yeah, yeah.
You know why?
Oh, because he'd just gotten divorced from
Brigitte Nielsen, who's Danish.
Oh, that's what I didn't think. I was like, why is that line in there? And now I'm like, that's why.
Amazing.
And isn't she, I guess she's not Swedish. I guess, yeah.
And then this is the other one. The guy who had the Australian accent or the English accent, that guy only had two lines. But Stallone thought it would be really great if he did it in a Cockney accent. And they started to expand that part just based on Stallone going, that would be fun to have this guy do a much larger.
That is so insane and depressing.
Well, it's to me, the movie is in general like a story of like a man at the height of his power. Not at the height of his powers, like not at the height of like, oh, this guy's a brilliant filmmaker. Just like so powerful that he's like,
oh, yeah,
I'm gonna make jokes about my own movies. I'm going to make fun of my now ex-wife, and I'm going to give a guy with a bad accent a ton more lines.
And I'm going to make him do the accent and then give him more lines.
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh.
That is very – that's all
one
awesome.
One more newspaper note. The last newspaper scene –
shouldn't you consider yourself a newspaper expert?
Well, I did notice in the last newspaper insert shot, right next to on the front page of – whatever newspaper that was, right next to the article about Tango and Cash being released is an article on the left that's titled simply Children Who Dress for Success.
Well, but it's also next.
What does that mean? What could that mean? It's a front page. It is a front page
children.
Article.
Children.
Who dressed for success.
Now the wow. thing that I thought was equally interesting is on the other side of that article, that was the one where they're back on the force, it says the other big lead article of that day was, ask not what the critics say. That was the article. Ask not what the critics say. Clearly going like,
great headline.
All you critics, you're going to criticize. But like, story is that? Ask not what the critics say. That's an op-ed, if anything.
Did you see the Times earlier? Yeah, ask not what the critics say, man. Great article.
Great article. Great article on that topical news story.
Did your son pick out a three-piece suit? Because he's starting third grade tomorrow. And do you know Tango and Cash, the famous cops, have been released?
They cleared their name. Yeah. And can we just talk about, before I get into some of these second opinions, what was the glass room that Jack Plants escapes into, the room
mirror
of mirrors?
Why was there a funhouse mirror room?
Well, he just like goes, God like, knows. What was the, like, if he's like, well, if they ever catch me, I can run into my funhouse.
Yes. I think that was the idea, that it was sort of this panic room where they couldn't tell.
But right. It's like it's a carnival house of mirrors right. room.
Literally a room behind a bookcase just full of mirrors.
Well, this exists in a warehouse facility full of weapons.
And office, landmines?
Apparently, and an office that looks like, you're right, the office of a strip club.
And
so it really is a real mashup of stuff.
And then that scene too, where it's like, which one is Jack? But by the way, so who cares? Like, if they shoot a mirror,
not all of them,
right? And just shoot everything. And then on top of that, it was like, how do you know? It's like, I knew by the monogram. He's like, oh, I knew by the ring, or like whatever. It's like, oh, they're both great cops.
But it's also like, they knew by this, they knew by that. But it has nothing to do with why they knew. Like, it wasn't like, oh, well, you're the smart Beverly Hills guy, and you saw that. Like,
you're
like,
the street smarts guy, and you're the book smarts guy.
Yeah, exactly. There was never a difference besides that speech, that impassioned speech scene. Obviously, we had an opinion about this movie, but there are other people who had a different opinion. It's now time for second opinions.
Don't underestimate a great movie. Don't underestimate a great movie, you idiot.
Second opinion.
Second opinion.
Second opinion.
Second opinion.
Five stars.
Five stars.
Five stars.
Five stars.
Second opinion.
Second opinion.
Second opinion.
Second opinion.
Five stars.
Five stars.
Five stars.
Who are these critics? These are second opinions that are culled from Amazon 5-star reviews. Guys, get ready. Buckle up, because these are good. All right. I'll start off with this one. This is from Vladimir Petrov. 5 out of 5 stars. One of Stallone's best. I really liked this movie. It was funny and full action. I really didn't notice the plot, but it had a lot of good action in it. Get this movie. You won't be disappointed. He didn't notice the plot. Didn't notice the plot. Okay, and then this one.
That's amazing.
This one is 5 out of 5 stars.
By the way, I don't think anyone making that movie noticed it either.
Yeah.
Right. Well, it's like, you know the score is good when you don't really hear it. It's sort of the same thing. Like,
you know a movie's good when really you don't remember it.
It's like, I only heard the score in Beverly Hills Cop, so I don't remember it from this one as well.
It's really such Beverly Hills Cop music.
It's hilariously Axel F.
Yeah.
Lots of action for gals like me watching Sly and Kurt's cute buns and hot bods running through the movie.
Looks like you don't speak for this woman.
Oh, wow.
Terry Hatcher is great for the guys to see. She can act, but she can't dance. Ha, ha, ha. Lots of one-liner wisecracks and great second performances.
What is that? I don't know.
Jack Palance is a hilarious chief villain. Jeffrey Lewis, who incidentally didn't get listed in the credits. What? Clint Howard and more. As fine of a plot as one expects for an action flick. Come on! It's a movie! And a mighty fun one at that.
Oh my God.
Two LA cops rivaling for headlines. I don't know if that was really the thing. And a high total of drug busts. And the bad guys that try to take him out. Not to mention zany characters along the way. Why can't Hollywood make a Clive Cussler novel like this? Funny, witty, lots of action, just like it's written. As an Aussie villain puts it, balls to plan A. As a B movie, this one gets my vote. So this guy's a lot of lady wants a Clive Cussler movie.
She loves those buns.
Loves those buns.
Here's another great, a little bit long one, but Tango and Cash are the ultimate duo, which spawned such great gatherings as Van Damme and Rodman, Seagal and Wayans, Schwarzenegger and Leguizamo. Yes, they are the city's two best cops and framed for a murder. Resentment. The bad guy should know better than to mess with Stallone. And an extra bonus, Kurt Russell. Cash is a loudmouth who doesn't take anything from anyone. And Tango is an immortal, dressed in Armani, chic. Cash falls in love with
Immortal in this movie?
That's what it says.
Is he a Highlander?
You didn't notice that in the plot?
Wait, is he a Highlander in this
movie? Cash falls in love with Tango's sister, played by Terry Hatcher, and the fun starts all over again. Gadgetry! A gidget person helps the two partners and constructs the ultimate car with guns built on the sides. Oh, baby! The fight scenes are incredible, and the showdown between Jack Palance and the partners is undeniably engaging. Holy cow, baby! Timoti, 5 stars.
Just a side note, I was recently at a party, and I met Sally Field, and she, speaking of gidget, she had a lot of trouble like working her way through like a bite of prosciutto.
And here's the final review that may or may not been written by Jason. A good movie. There's some real good nudity in this movie, especially the topless woman in the car. Women in this movie have nice boobies. 5 out of 5 stars.
By the way, I agree. I wrote in my notes that like I really enjoyed seeing like the back room full of like natural tits at the strip club.
Well,
that wasn't a strip club, but that seems
natural,
a lot like a strip club because everybody was naked in the back, like a strip club.
No, they were just changing. They're in their dressing rooms.
Well, would we recommend seeing this movie? That's the question. I would. I was engaged.
I enjoyed it.
It was fun.
Yeah.
Totally.
Yeah. Nick?
I mean, I love the movie. I loved it. And, yeah. I also love the podcast, How Did This Get Made? It's great.
You're already on it.
This is that podcast.
You can go to earwolf.com. You can go to iTunes.
You're already on it.
Put it on your RSV feed.
RSV feed?
Yeah.
Wow. You're a real gidget head.
Now, you can watch The Kroll Show every Tuesday night at 10:30.
Yes.
And can you just tell us some of the guest stars you got coming up?
Oh, yeah. We've got, we had Paul Scheer. We've got Mandzukas. We got Chelsea Preti, Jenny Slate, John Mulaney. We got Seth Rogen, Aziz Ansari, Bill Burr. We've got CT from The Challenge. We've got...
Just great comedians that you know, like John, people like Neil Casey.
Neil Casey's all over it. Ron Funches, Joe Wengert, John Daly's throughout the show, all over it. Probably John half Mulaney. Of your guests have been John Mulaney. Half of the people who've done your show are on the show. And it's the third and final season. And if you haven't seen the show, you can go back and watch episodes on Hulu. It's on the Comedy Central app. You can watch it on Amazon Prime. It's on iTunes. And I highly recommend if you have a chance to go back and watch episodes to catch up before
because
you watch
kinda
the season.
Because it kind of pays, like they're all building, like this is the conclusion in many respects.
Yeah, and I think that the show show is much more gratifying if you can watch it fresh and clean, having not watched anything. But it's much more gratifying. Like, it's a little more like watching a drama. It's much more fun
serialized.
If you have some.
So
yeah.
Your show is a lot like a drama.
Our show is, I would say, the Breaking Bad or Sopranos of comedy.
Oh, nice. Guys. I like it.
I started
watching very good.
Sopranos.
It's good, right?
Love it.
Yeah. Well, I would say that.
So I guess I'd like the Kroll Show.
I think so. That's
you can follow the show at HTGD, HDTGM on Twitter. Oh, I forget. It's always all those initials.
It's too many letters.
Yeah. Jason, what about you? What do you got?
I got nothing. Watch the Kroll Show. Yeah, or a fantastic show.
And follow at Bronk on Twitter.
No, don't
follow at Bronk. June, what do you want to plug?
The Kroll Show.
Thank you.
And I'm on the last episode of Marry Me, which is great. A great show too. And The Comeback, which I'm not on, but I love.
But it's over.
Yes, but you can watch it on HBO Go.
Are we just plugging like things that we like?
Oh, can we plug things we like? I love
wow.
that.
All right,
well,
yeah.
I just started to.
I would plug something that, what have I, wow, there's so many things. Well, I plugged Black Mirror already on the show, which if you haven't listened to that, great. Black Mirror on Netflix, so good. And look, the season of The Bachelor is pretty great so far.
I watched it last night. I have never really watched an episode of it.
It was pretty good.
He makes out with everybody.
Oh, yeah. This guy does it all.
Oh,
this guy
I was
shocked.
Yeah.
This guy actually fucked somebody during the season.
That's the way the promos are making it look. We'll see.
What do you mean? They don't normally
they
do that?
Promos.
Not during
so
the season.
So you don't want to see this Bachelor's buns, June? No?
Chris
no,
Soles?
I think he's cheesy looking.
Hey, he's been on the show already, right?
Yeah, he's like, that's what they normally do. They take one out. They take a loser out in the country.
Oh, okay. He was on The Bachelorette.
Yeah.
Gotcha.
Jason, would you want to see the Chris Soles buns?
I've not seen him yet. I haven't seen him. But yeah, for sure I would. I mean, is he hunky?
Oh, he definitely is hunky.
If he's hunky, then I want to see his buns. And like the top of his dick. But like the top meaning where it meets his body, not like the head.
Right. The base.
Yeah.
The shaft.
Yeah. The
top of the
where
shaft.
Where the shaft and
the body.
The body.
You want to see where the trunk hits the dirt.
Yeah. Yep. Because you know there's dirt.
He is a farmer.
There's so many other people to thank. A big thanks to Brett Morse, our engineer, Avril Halley, who pulls all of our clips, Nate Kiley, who does all of our research, Leanna Waldron, who designs all of our amazing graphics, and you can thank them. I don't know. Find them. Thank them. They're awesome.
I also, since I probably can't weasel my way back here before my, I have a movie coming out in spring called Adult Beginners that I made.
Look,
starring,
Nick, you get to come on the show when you have something to promote. How about that?
Yeah, dude.
So when that comes out, you'll come back on again.
Well, because I also want to promote, again, I just think people need to check out How Did This Get Made? It's a great podcast.
Oh, brother. And a reminder that we do have that live show coming up at Largo on 3/14. That's March 14th. That's a Saturday. Go to largo-la.com. Do it. We'll see you there. See you next time. In the meantime, follow us on Twitter. And if you have a correction and omission for today's episode, put it in the Earwolf Forum under our show page. Yeah, you can figure it out. I trust you. See you next week for our mini episode.
This has been an Earwolf Media production. Executive producers Jeff Ulrich and Scott Aukerman. For more information, visit earwolf.com.
Earwolf Radio. Boom.com. The wolf dead.